Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website RickAckerman.com. He's speaking to us from South Florida, perhaps the only place in North America that isn't going to be hit by this northern cyclonic polar express cold wave.
Thanks for inviting me on, Jim. It's always a pleasure to connect with your vast audience. It is indeed a lovely, you'd think it was summer here. I'm looking out the back window and there's some ladies on a putting green here with awful chip shots, and it's sunny. It's been a little bit change of seasons, rainy here, even colder than usual, but certainly not in the league with what I'm reading about northerly states.
Well, here in Vancouver, normally we'd be 6 degrees or probably about 45 Fahrenheit. We're minus 11, which is minus 12 Fahrenheit. And wind chills overnight in a lot of the province now going down to minus 40, which is the same in both sea and, as we like to say, effing sea. So very cold across North America. What's that going to do to energy prices? Can we expect our wallets will be drained not only by our holiday season shopping, but also heating bills?
Yeah, I think we can expect that. I mean, even before the cold hit, we were reading about people having to choose between beef protein and more heat in our homes. So if that was foreseeable a few months ago, we're here. And of course, a really nasty cold snap is going to use up a lot of fuel, and it's expensive.
Now, we are not getting the so-called Santa rally this year, are we?
Well, we're getting it in reverse today, and you know that feels right as rain to me, because this market is so oblivious to reality. It's just sort of a creature of all that money that's jangling around, money that's more a state of mind than it doesn't even exist digitally until people think it. It's you remember the film Forbidden Planet, where they land on Altair 4 to try to find out what happened to the an earlier exploration party that seems to have vanished. Well, the secret of the Krell was they designed this huge reactor. They'd achieved a pinnacle of technology with this infinitely powerful reactor that could conjure up in reality anything their minds could think of. So if you're craving a bottle of 1959 Bordeaux and a good steak, it'll deliver it merely by thinking about it. But what happened, the thing that destroyed the Krell civilization, was that their subconscious, the monsters from the id, as they were referred to in the movie, were virtually devouring them at night. So they would have these, even though they were sophisticated technologically, they still had that primitive human subconscious, and it eventually came back not just to bite them in the butt, but to devour them, tear them limb from limb, I guess, actually, is what happened. So we've created a money system that's the same way. We can conjure into existence virtually limitless sums of, let's call it money, and it has a way of finding its way into financial assets in particular, and here we are.
Well, an oversupply of money must have been clearly illustrated with NFTs and people buying virtual real estate for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, that was I think, even more of a patent fraud than Bitcoin itself. And I think what killed it was somebody or other bought a piece of art for, you know, it was billions of dollars, or maybe even more. It was hundreds of billions. It was some ridiculous number. And I think it took that number to make everyone out there realize how absolutely stupid the NFT thing was. And I guess maybe it's kind of a hobby now that the billionaires play with to buy things that are maybe important. If you had a museum of technology and digital science somewhere in the Silicon Valley, that's what they're paying up for.
What do you think we're going to be facing in the new year on the stock markets?
Well, I think the Santa rally in reverse may discount a lot of what we might have expected. When a market ignores reality for a long time with these bear markets like the one that we had beginning last October, it has a way of catching up with it on day one of the new year. And it's funny, that's, the bear market, you could start your calendar on that from January 4th of this year. So we came flying out of the gate, flying downward, kamikaze style. And I don't think that 2023, New Year's Day, is going to bring any epiphany that will cause the market to go higher. The only, I guess, psychologically bullish thing that's out there is this idea that inflation is moderating, and that will put less pressure on the Federal Reserve to keep tightening. But that's all such a big, it's really, when we look at that, like, well, what will it do to the money system and the banking system? It's almost like the ant trying to judge the strength of the elephant when he's crawling around in its toe fungus or something. So we don't really know. There are huge things coming, and I've thought all along that just a little bit of tightening, certainly a lot less than we've had, would put a deflationary asphyxiator around the economy. And I think that's happened, but we just don't know it yet.
What's your position on Apple? Before, you were saying, well, you didn't really have to be a genius, just follow Apple and it'll tell you what's happening with the stock markets. Is that going to continue to be the case?
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. You just have to watch Apple and you'll never ever be fooled. And even though the dirt balls who manipulate stocks higher, they have ways of doing it, and they would like to do those tricks that have worked, it's hard to make this game work anymore because Apple just wants to go down. It's hard to put a good story out there about Apple other than, well, you know, their latest or whatever, the iPhone, I guess it'll be 13, has an improved camera that won't take a picture unless your subject is the smile and the eyes and everything are optimal. And like, we need more camera enhancements. So it's going to be tough for Apple to sell as many iPhones as it has been selling. And, of course, that's where all the revenues are for Apple, are in the phone. So Apple hasn't come up against a recession like the one we are starting to slip deeply into. So no matter what kind of tricks you can use to put a squeeze, a technical rally into Apple, it's just getting harder and harder. So being the biggest cap stock in the world, it's just going to drag everything lower, or it will certainly act as a ballast if the market wants to run.
China's economic slowdown, is that going to affect the whole planet?
Well, it sure does. It certainly affects the price of energy at the margin. I thought that the last ostensible reason for the short squeeze a week ago had something to do with buzz that China was in some sort of economic recovery, but, you know, their recovery is probably challenged in more ways than ours, since you had such wild speculation in real estate there. Not that we don't have it here, But there, you know, everybody buys these unfinished apartments to rent them out, fix them up when the rentals come, when the growth is there. So I don't know where this China recovery story was coming from, but they're going to have a tough time going it alone with Europe, the U.S., and everybody else sliding into the abyss.
What's your outlook on the U.S. dollar?
Well, it's the weakness that we've seen in recent months has been a kind of a respite for gold. It's taken some of the pressure off gold, but being a deflationist, I'm always going to be a long-term bull on the dollar. But when you look at the mama rally that the weakness in the dollar has been correcting, you understand that it could keep coming down for a bit before it starts higher. And the dollar index has been as high as, I think, 114, 115. But I'm looking for a test of highs that go back a couple of decades to the 120 level. So let's just say we are in a big overdue correction of the dollar. But, the dollar is so far beyond the scope of tinkering and tampering by the central banks. It's much huger than anything else they play with. You know, it's easy to inflate the stock market or real estate, but the dollar is the big enchilada, and there's so many of them in play in so many ways that the dollar really holds sway no matter what the Fed wants to do. And you can see pretty much every day that all of the markets, virtually everything that trades with the exception of bonds, is going to move inversely with the dollar. So when the dollar finishes this correction and starts up again, it's going to put a lot of deflationary pressure on the planet, on the financial system, and it will be, again, way beyond control by the Fed. They can use their little tinker toy set to manipulate real estate and financial assets, but all the central banks together are not, they're not even a pissant compared to the size of the dollar market.
Is the Fed going to keep hiking rates until there's massive unemployment?
Well, look around. You'd have to say they don't really have to tighten too much more. The economy, the one we're debating whether or not we're in a recession or not, any idiot can see, can ask the question, well, how much more tightening do we need, really? And I guess the Fed, the danger here is that they've already tightened way too much, but they don't get a sign of deflationary implosion that they're going to cause until it's too late.
Well, most experts have told me, if you're going to hike interest rates, it usually takes a year or two for even a slight increase to have any impact on the economy. Well, they've done what, 7 in a row? It's the most hikes in the shortest period of time ever, and they expect instant results? Are they brain damaged?
Well, what they do expect, and they're getting a little help from the nitwits who write the headlines for Bloomberg, write the stories, in the form of stories that speculate that the Fed has succeeded in engineering a soft landing for inflation, or there's a fulcrum there that separates inflation from deflation. So the headlines are saying, looks like the Fed has done it. They've actually done it. They've tightened without throwing us into a depression. But I think it's a little too early to stand up and cheer about that, because as you just said, it takes a long time before the full effects of tightening will surface in the real economy.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, we're seeing layoffs in the tech sector, but even bricks and mortar facilities for Amazon being affected. What's going on there?
Well, they're getting marked to market. I think that Musk purchase of Twitter was really sort of cold water on tech stock valuation. You know, when you come right down to it, stocks like companies like Facebook and Google, they're just glorified advertising agencies, although advertising agencies with a depth of consumer information that Madison Avenue circa 1960s could only have dreamed about. So it seemed, and I wrote about this, that before Musk started chopping heads there at Twitter, that they were going to find that they could run the whole company with maybe 15 or 20 employees, including 10 coders recruited from the high school dropout cohort. And that's all they ever really needed. So if Twitter is worth nothing, and you can see that Twitter hubris really supported a great lifestyle for the workers there. Tucker Carlson had a great little segment with it that showed all of the Twitter people doing what they do during the course of the day, which is pretty much nothing. You know, they have their latte for a couple hours when they get into work, and then they try on whatever they bought at Bloomingdale's the next day, and they go to the little isolation tanks to get a little maybe a midday nap, and they do nothing. And I think this is so true for so many companies. The opposite would be Amazon, where everybody's working. But you've had huge valuations in companies like Facebook and Twitter, where they're not really producing anything. And we're always going to, at some point, find out that you really need to produce things to have a real economy. You know, it turns out that it hasn't changed quite as much as we might hope since the days when the brick and mortar, the steel that went into railroads really pushed the economy. You know, everybody was actively involved making and doing, and we're going to find out how relatively few are makers and doers in the high-tech economy.
Well, we're going to have more power plants of some kind if all these government mandates for electric vehicles go into effect.
Yeah, and we don't seem to be going like headlong into nuclear. And there have been such amazing improvements with the way we the nuclear power plant design that winds up being relatively safe. I see the public relations spin out there in the form of articles and magazines that I read. I can't remember if it penetrated Wired's, you know, Wired magazine has certainly a leftward tilt in its political views, but at some point they just put that aside and they talk about the technology. And so there've been a couple stories that have gotten into the dangers of, storage of plutonium waste, and at least as far as the ones that I've read, I think they make a pretty persuasive case that we're able to store radioactive waste with relatively with much less risk than has been generally believed, or let's say has been fear-mongered by people who have opposed nuclear power. But if we don't go that way, and we sort of take the green diversion here, we'll go into something so much worse than, well, it'll be a depression like beyond anything you can imagine.
What's your outlook on gold?
Well, I like it. I've got a target right now. This would be a technical target basis, the March 2023 contract, COMEX. I've got a target up at 1908, which is 106 points above where we're trading right now. Gold currently 1802. So, you know, when we're up there, I think it's pretty likely that we're going to finally make that push above 2000. But when I put these targets out to my own subscribers, as bullish as they sound, I always try to caution them, you know, not to just dive in, because the rally in bullion has been really tedious and painful. It's a process. It's like, you know, for every three steps up, we take 2 7/8 steps back. So, again, 1908 is coming on the COMEX February contract. And, silver's been a little more feisty. And, I think that in the psychological sense, silver has been kind of pulling gold up. So silver just wants to run, but it can't get too far ahead of gold. So, you know, they're both, they're constantly resyncing.
Rick, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I guess that polar vortex, you know, I hope it doesn't, get down here for too long, but, anyway, I like occasionally going up north. Everybody down here says, boy, I just love it in the winter, but I get to miss in winter, so I may go up to, Atlantic City and take a walk on a boardwalk there in Ventnor when, the wind chills down below zero. So, anyway, I guess this will be the last time we talk before, for the new year. So let me wish you and your, audience a happy new year and a very cheery holiday season.
And, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah too. We're in day, began Sunday. So we're well into Hanukkah too. And, anyway, it's, apart from all the things we read in the paper, I've kind of tuned it out. I think you can still have a nice holiday and enjoy it with friends and family.
Yeah, it's not the things, it's the people. Rick, thank you very much again, and all the best.
Same to you, Jim. Thanks again. You take care.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Happy holidays.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.